bless you and we praise you. We praise you, God, that on this day we remember that you fulfilled your promise and Lord, you poured out your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, that that's not just a distant memory, that we can encounter you through the living power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray you would come as your word, as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared, Lord, that we would encounter you. Come, Spirit of God. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. And Lord, may we encounter you, the Holy One, the Worthy One, the Ancient of Days. Come, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare your hearts for worship. It's Rich Place of Prelude. About that song, we tend to think of it as in this place, in this building. But I'd like to sing that again, sing it through twice. And as we do that, as we sing, Thou art welcome in this place, think about it as in this place, in my heart. And what are those things you're coming in here this morning that you're anxious about, that you're worried about? Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. My heart, in my mind. And so let's sing that twice and sing through that again. And as we sing that, let's make that our prayer. Spirit. I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Comforter to you. And Lord, all of us, I think, in this room need some source of comfort. And Lord, we just pray that you would come and truly encounter us this morning. Lord, we pray for those grieving and mourning among us. Lord, we pray, we remember the Baumeisters. Lord, we remember Don. God, we miss him. And Lord, he was always smiling and just always, he was going through so much, but he always had a smile on his face. And God, we pray that this morning that you would bless Don, and that you would comfort him, and that you would just surround him, Lord, with your peace and your comfort. Lord, we pray for Shirley, who's healing up from a fall. And God, we ask you to bless and heal Shirley in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Sally, Abby's mama. God, we just pray that you'd bless Sally. Lord, that you'd bless her and encourage her and others, Lord, that are just having a hard time getting their feet back on the ground through with all that we've been through. And God, we just pray blessings. We pray peace. We pray encouragement, Lord, upon all that just need a hug this morning, all that just need comfort. Lord, we thank you that this day we remember that the Comforter has come. And so, Lord, I just pray you just surround with peace and comfort. We pray, Father, for Norm Hill's dad, Babe. God, we pray you'd bless him and touch him. Heal his body in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Bonnie Williams, who started chemo again. And God, we ask you for healing. We ask you for strength. We ask you for mercy. We pray, Father, for the doctors that are monitoring her so closely, that they would have wisdom. And Lord, we ask your mercy and your peace on Bonnie and on Jerry in Jesus' name. We remember Lord Gordy Showalter this morning, that you would bless him, that you would heal him, that you would heal that hip abscess, God, that you would touch and you would heal that colon in the name of Jesus Christ. God, have mercy on him and bless him. God, we pray for Joe, Janet Kirk's brother. Jesus, that you would bless him, that he would get good reports, that just everything that's going on in his body, we just speak healing in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Jackie Woolsey and Christine Kelly, who are undergoing treatments for cancer. God, we ask, Lord, we thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. We're going to talk about that today. Lord, you went about healing all diseases. And Lord, even the seemingly things that like, ooh, we think of C, it's the big C, and we just think, ooh, Lord, that's nothing to you. You forgive all of our sins, and you heal all of our diseases. So Lord, we pray for all of those that are suffering from cancer, and we just say, cancer, be gone. And Lord, we ask your healing hand to be upon these women and men that have been mentioned this morning, God, that are undergoing treatments for cancer. God, have mercy in Jesus' name. Lord, there were a lot of praises this morning of people that are getting to see grandchildren and family again. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for Bailey, who's going to be going to Korea in the fall with the Air Force, God. We ask you to bless him, to protect him. Lord, we pray for all of our men and women in the military, God, that you'd bless them and protect them. God, we thank you for the testimony and the praise of a grandson engaged this weekend. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I remember specifically praying that COVID would not hit our schools and that you would give grace to our students and our teachers. And God, we just thank you for safely getting our students and our teachers safely through this year. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise. And Lord, as teachers are going to begin summer school to help the students kind of get them back in gear, God, we just ask grace on those, Lord, on the teachers and on the students and all of our students who will be attending summer school. We ask for your grace, Lord, and your help in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we remember what's going on in India with the outbreak of COVID and this black fungus, Lord, that's going on over there. Lord, we ask your mercy on India, your healing upon the people there that are suffering in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the situation in the Middle East. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father, for Palestinians and Jews. God, we ask for your mercy and your peace over that city in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Armenia and the situation there and how Azerbaijan is threatening and just quietly annexing land again. And God, we ask you to protect them in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that you stand up for the weak. That's what you do. That's who you are. And Lord, I just thank you for the heritage that's in that land, for the faithful witnesses, Lord, through the centuries in that land. And God, we ask you to remember all of the men and women that died over their suffering for you, God. We ask you to remember the martyrs. Remember them, God, and have mercy on that land once again. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, God, that Pentecost is more than just a day. It's more than just a yearly event. poured out your Holy Spirit. God, there is so much I could say today. And Lord, I pray truly that today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my spirit be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer, give me the words to say to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, beyond the sacred page, Lord, we don't just want to read about it. Lord, we've probably heard this story 100 or more times, but I pray truly today that we would encounter you. We would encounter you. Holy One, come. Teach us. Encounter us. And guide us into truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to wait and read Acts chapter 2 at the end, but I'm going to read that in a minute. I had said last week, we talked about, it was Ascension Sunday, and when Jesus ascended, all rule and authority and power and dominion belong to him, and all things are under his feet. And he said, in the same way, the angels, as the disciples are standing there watching Jesus go up, the angel comes, he says, why are you waiting here? And he said, he's going to come back just the way that he ascended. He's going to come back, but go into Jerusalem and wait. And talked about just what are some things that can keep us from seeing Jesus. Trauma can do that. Our anxiety can do that. Our fear can do that. When we're all trying to figure out things in the horizontal, we're hearing all of the news and we're trying to figure things out, that can keep us from seeing Jesus. And if you remember, I said something that was rather striking. I said, I feel like in this season of the church in the United States, God wants to blow up our boxes of what church is. And today, I want to fill out what might that look like as he blows out our boxes. And we put God in a little box. We put church in a little box. This is what we do in church. This is what we do. And he wants to expand that. What does that practically look like? We're going to expand on that today. In Acts chapter 2, this is what we remember. This is what we celebrate today. Acts chapter 2. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We heard them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. Some translations say they are drunk. They are not drunk. And Peter gets up and he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. And he quotes Joel chapter 2, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Then preaches this powerful sermon. It was incredibly bold, incredibly bold. And this man who had been so timid and had betrayed Jesus, Jesus comes and restores him. And on the day of Pentecost, this man who had been hiding preaches an incredibly bold sermon. And thousands were added to the believers that day. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Pentecost is more than just one Sunday. It's more than just one day that happened 2,000 years ago. When I first came back from Armenia, my first Sunday back, I told you that I saw things that I've only ever read about in the book of Acts. And one of those was languages. And Joel Tenney, our team leader, he flowed in about 4 or 5 languages. And the first time it happened, and this is just consistent for him, he's an evangelist, and this is how often God will use him. We were in the airport in Chicago, and it was a big deal getting on that plane. We were flying Qatar Airways. We had to have a PCR COVID test that we had tested negative for COVID. And so, you know, it was a lot of paperwork, and it was, you know, really rather intense. So there were 5 of us on the team, and we were waiting, and there was this beautiful woman from Jordan that was helping us. And Joel just starts speaking in this language. And she looks at him, and she says, "How do you know perfect Arabic?" And he says, "I don't." And he was just dialoguing with her. And it was a sign and a wonder to her. And God used that to start communications and talking about Jesus. And on the airplane, we were going over. I think we were going from, we were going to Qatar at that time. I don't think we were heading to Armenia yet. So it was the first leg of our journey. And there were male and female attendants. And Joel sees this one attendant and just starts speaking to him. And it was some dialect, some Indian dialect. And he's like, "How do you know that?" And he says, "I don't, but Jesus loves you." And he just starts speaking to him in his native language. And Joel just kept doing that. And it was astounding. I've heard of that happening, but I've never, ever, ever seen it. And when we were in our van, and we were in Yerevan, the capital at that time, and Father Zorov, who was a priest that was showing us around in the first week that we were there, he and Joel were conversing, and Joel never did get Armenian, but while we were over there, he witnessed in German, he witnessed in some African language, I think it was Afrikaans, and there was another language, and just people, and they're hearing the wonders of God, just like in the book of Acts. And some of them came to Jesus. It was so powerful. It was so meaningful to them. And it was beautiful to see. And so we're in the van, and Nare, our translator, was translating between Father Zorov, and because he's speaking Armenian, Joel's speaking English. And I'm sitting in the second row in the van. And I hear Father Zorov give this beautiful explanation of John chapter 17. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. It was one of the more brilliant things I had heard on John 17. Like, that is beautiful. About 2 or 3 minutes later, I was like, "Father Zorov, I didn't know you spoke English." And Nare looked at me. She says, "He doesn't. You all, I heard him. I got the gift of interpretation. I heard him. He was speaking Armenian, but I heard it in English." What we read about in Acts chapter 2, you all, it's real. And it's for today. It's not just something that happened then. It happens now. And what I want to talk about, and we're going to be here as long as the Lord kind of keeps giving me messages. But I really want to talk, I've never really thought about the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God and how they are intertwined. So I want to look at that briefly this morning. I'm going to try to be really brief because my outline last night was so long. I was like, "God, this is not going to fly. This is not going to work. You have to help me." So I'll come back and speak more about it. But on the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit is for today. And one of the things that makes me sad, and I've had a bishop in the United Methodist Church tell me this. He's like, "April, what do you think about politics?" And I said, "I despise politics." And he said, "Well, you are in a political organization." And I remember looking at him and thinking, I was like, if that's what you call the church, if that's what you call the bride of Jesus Christ, I want nothing to do with that. The bride, the church of Jesus Christ is not a political organization. It is people who come together, who love Jesus Christ, who have encountered him, who are born again, and are filled with his Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we've tended to do in our culture, specifically in the United States, is we've made little kingdoms. We've made it about preachers. We've made it about our programs. We've made it about us. And you don't see that at all in the book of Acts. And what are they about? They are about Jesus and moving in the power. And it becomes about the Lord's kingdom. And I feel like, and I don't, I'm still growing in on what is the kingdom of God. What is that? What does that practically look like? So that's where we're gonna be here for a few weeks. And John the Baptist said something so profound and so beautiful about Jesus. But before we get there, what was John the Baptist's message? Do you remember what his message was? His message was, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. The kingdom of God is at hand. That was his message. And then, and people are coming, they're being baptized, they're confessing their sins out loud. Wow, we don't hear much about that anymore, do we? Confessing our sins, oh. No, but people were coming, the kingdom of God. And people are repenting, they're confessing their sins, they're being baptized in the Jordan River. And then John comes and he says something, one of the more profound statements about Jesus. Matthew 3, verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. So here we have this correlation with the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit right here, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And yet, I was thinking about that this week. Is this the first time we see the correlation with the kingdom of God and Holy Spirit? No. You look back, what was it said about Jesus? Remember Christmas? Luke chapter 1, when the angel comes to Mary, what does he say to Mary? Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what this greeting might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. What does that sound like? The throne of his father David? Sounds like a kingdom to me, doesn't it, to you? Will give you the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's kingdom language. And of his, here it is, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and right here at this birth announcement, we have kingdom and we have Holy Spirit. You cannot separate the two. And then you have it with John the Baptist. What happened? Mary, she receives that, and Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Kingdom, Holy Spirit. John comes. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. One coming after me, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you with water for repentance, but this one coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus comes, and he asks to be baptized, and John says, no, I don't need you to, you need to baptize me. I don't need to baptize you. And Jesus says, no, this is in order to fulfill all righteousness. Now, Jesus did not need to be baptized. He did not need to, he didn't have any sins. He never sinned. But why was Jesus baptized? He did that to identify with you and me. Jesus never asked us to do anything that he himself did not do. And he identified with us in our weakness, in our sins, and he's baptized by John. You remember what happens? He's baptized, and he comes up out of the water, and it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and rested on him as a dove. The voice from heaven exclaimed, "This is my son whom I love. I'm greatly pleased with him." And at that, immediately, in the Gospels, what does it say? Jesus is, and this to me, this is so fascinating. Jesus is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Part of his DNA is God himself. His Father is Father Almighty that sits on the throne. Part of his DNA is Mary. But this one, he's conceived of the Holy Spirit, fully God and fully man. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he could do no ministry, no moving in power, until the Holy Spirit comes and rests on him. That's kind of a Selah, think about it moment. It's powerful, it's profound. And again, it's a beautiful illustration for us. Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he himself did not do. We cannot do anything apart from God. God's power is available for every single one of us. Every single one of us can experience what I experienced in Armenia. It's not just for me, it's not just for Joel. Every single one of us, if we will but yield, we will but yield to him. It's available for all of us. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus, rested on him, he began moving in power. We need the Holy Spirit as well, and it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And immediately when that happened, it says he was God. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and there is a kingdom clash. The devil comes to him to tempt him. And Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God. We're going to talk more about that. But then immediately the enemy is there. Satan, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, he's there, and he tempts Jesus. And Jesus passed the test. Satan's like, "Well, you're hungry? Make bread for yourself. Satisfy your flesh. Give in to the desires of your flesh. Be showy, Jesus. Show off. Be like some of those old televangelists in the 1980s and 90s, you know. Just start showing off and be all flashy." Jesus says no. And the devil comes and he tempts him, and Jesus withstands it. The devil lies to him and says, "I can give you all the money, all the wealth, all the kingdoms of this earth." And Jesus is like, "I don't want any of it." And he withstands him by the word of God. And when we start moving with God, and when we're filled with him, we're going to encounter temptations. The enemy's going to come, and he's going to accuse us. And I've talked to you about this before. His name, Satan, means slanderer. That's what Satan's name means. He is a slanderer, and he is an accuser. He will accuse God to you. God doesn't love you. He will accuse you. He'll put these thoughts in your mind. You're ugly. You're not worthy. You're this. You're that. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. You can never live up. You know, that's the voice of the accuser. And when that doesn't work, he'll start accusing other people. "Well, look at her. You know what she did?" And, you know, churches have been destroyed because of the accuser. And we listen to that and the enemy comes, and yet we can withstand him. We can withstand him. Revelation chapter 11 and chapter 12. How do they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. Jesus spoke the word of God, and we need to know and stand on the word of God as well. And what happened? Okay, he withstands that, and then what's Jesus' message? Matthew 4, verse 17, is exactly like John the Baptist. "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God. What is it? We begin to see it. It begins to unravel before us in the Gospels. What is the kingdom of God? Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 4. I don't know why, but I cannot get this scripture out of my head. So so the Lord wants you. There's somebody here that needs to get this, because when it's on me this strong and I just can't get it out, the Lord wants us to get this. He's in Nazareth. He's just come back from being tempted. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of this." And then what begins to happen? Luke chapter 4, verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and as he was teaching them on the Sabbath, they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. The kingdom of God is when the gospel and the word of God is proclaimed, and there's authority on it. There's anointing on it. And that was different than the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day. It was boring. It was dull. It was rules and regulations. But Jesus came, and there was life on it. There was power on it. And that's part of the kingdom. When the kingdom of God comes, there's authority on the word of God, because the Spirit of God is on it. His word possessed authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." It was a kingdom clash. When the kingdom of God comes, there's authority on the word of God. When the kingdom of God comes, the devils start talking, and the devils, you know, there's a demonic clash with people that are possessed and tormented by the demonic. What else happens when the kingdom of God comes? I'm going to talk more about this next week. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. When the kingdom of God comes, people are healed. People are delivered. In Luke chapter 8, there was this man. Let's just read it. Then they sailed to the country. I'm in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gennesarenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. They're begging Jesus. They're begging Jesus, "Don't send us to hell. We don't want to go there." They're begging Jesus. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside, and they begged him to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Further down, Luke chapter 8, verse 40, he heals the woman with the issue of blood. He was going to heal a synagogue leader's daughter who was sick, and this woman who was so desperate that she'd given up. She had this menstrual issue, and it was horrible. And in that day, women that were menstruating were considered unclean. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't worship. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't touch anybody. And this woman had had this issue for years. So she had been in social isolation. She couldn't worship. And she'd given all, she was desperate. And she just sees Jesus. She hears what's going on. And she's like, I just want to touch him. And when she touches him, Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples are like, are you crazy? There's a lot of people that touched you. He said, no, somebody touched me. And he was calling her out. And she's like, and Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. He heals chronic diseases, y'all. And he goes, and his daughter, had died. Luke chapter 8, verse 49. While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. How many of us would we have laughed at Jesus? Because we know. We know. Well, you can't, Lord. No, the doctor said this. I know. Nope, this is what the doctor said. This is it. They laughed at Jesus because they knew that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And that little girl was raised from the dead. The lepers were cleansed. The blind could see. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, it says, all who came to Jesus were healed. Y'all, that's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is authority. The kingdom of God is healing. The kingdom of God is the people being set free. And it all goes back to Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's what Jesus came to do. And it's by the power of his Holy Spirit. And what began to happen, and we see it with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. He's going to die. And Jesus honors John the Baptist. He said, there's no one greater born of women than John. And John's beginning to question because he's looking for a king and a kingdom in the horizontal. He's looking for an external king. And he says, Jesus, are you the one? Or is there someone else? You know what Jesus says? He says, you go and tell John that the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking. This kingdom is not an external kingdom. It's an internal kingdom. And yet the disciples had that struggle. And we see that in the Palm Sunday and the waving of the palms. And they're the triumphal entry of Jesus. They're waving him in because they think, this is it. This is the kingdom. This is our king. This is the one that's going to overthrow the Romans. And we're going to have an established state once again. This is it. And the kingdom that Jesus came to bring is not an external kingdom. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. But it was what he was doing they could not comprehend. And it was so profound, and it was so outside their little boxes that Jesus died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. And the disciples see him. And in Luke chapter 1, they're still thinking it. They still can't get it out of their minds. Luke chapter, or I'm sorry, the kingdom to Israel? Y'all, if we haven't gotten it by now, there is not a Democrat, there's not a Republican, there's not a senator, not a libertarian, not a socialist, not a communist leader that could raise up that could do what we want to do in this country. Not one. Our hope as a nation is not in a man or a woman, in a Democrat or a Republican, or anything in between, or anything, nothing. And the disciples were so wanting that. They were wanting, that's what their mind was set in. Are you at this time, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? Jesus says, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And in Acts chapter 2, sound like a mighty rush of wind. Tongues of fire coming and resting on them. They start declaring the wonders of God in languages that they had never spoken before. They begin, then others begin hearing the wonders of God in their own language. And there's a boldness and a fire and an authority. And what Jesus had been preaching was now inside the disciples. The Spirit of the living God was inside them. Our nation is only going to be saved by you, young, old, men and women, all of us. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is not an external kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. It's as we yield ourselves to him, as we give ourselves to him, we say, God, my righteousness is filthy rags. I need you. I need to be born again. And we trade our sin and our sorrows, and we put that on Jesus, and we receive his blood, and we receive his life, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we do what Jesus did. Remember that song? Some of you may remember it. I don't know if it's in the late 80s or the early 90s. Michael W. Smith, Open the Floodgates of Heaven. Remember that song? Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. I used to sing that song. I used to weep when I heard that song. Yes, God, open the floodgates of heaven. You know what he shared with me? I don't remember how long it's been, 2 or 3 years ago. The Lord just so clearly spoke to me, and he said, April, you are the floodgate. Y'all, we are his floodgates. We are his floodgates. As we yield ourselves to him, as we are born again, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, his kingdom wants to come through us. My favorite story in the entire Bible is Acts chapter 4. Peter and John are going up to the temple as they had done, and they were going up there to pray. This man, they had walked by this man for years begging. Alms, alms, alms. That day, Peter and John looked at him, and they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And that man got up and started leaping and jumping and praising God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in him, that he died on the cross for your sins, and he is raised in power, and you believe in that, and you ask him, Lord, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. You have that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is what Pentecost is. That's what Pentecost means. You cannot separate the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what God wants to do in you. That's what he wants to do in all of us, if we will but yield ourselves to him. I want to read. I'm going to close with this. Psalm 107. It's one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 107. We used it as a call to worship a couple weeks ago. Psalm 107, just part of it. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their heads, hearts with hard labor, they fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for the wonderful works to the children of man. Jesus said, or Paul said, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You will call on him. Today is the day. Call on him and he will come. He will send forth his word and he will heal you. And the second thing I want, and we're going to be talking about, is not just being born again, but being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with him and walking in power. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. But you need to ask and you need to receive it. And Jesus will give you the Holy Spirit and you can move. Our nation is only going to be saved as we yield to him, as we say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, and your kingdom come through me. And he will do it. It's going to come through us. We are his floodgates if we would but yield to him. Father, we bless you and we honor you and we praise you. Lord, I thank you for what I saw in Armenia. But Lord, I thank you that that's not just for Armenia. God, it's for here and it's for all of us who will but yield to you. And so, God, we just bless you and we thank you. And, Lord, we just say that we want you this morning. We are thirsty for you and we want you. God, I pray as a nation you would forgive us for looking for a government leader to save us. Lord, that you would forgive us for looking to philosophies and money and programs. And, Lord, in the church, Lord, we've done that. Lord, we've completely left you out and made it about us. We've built our own kingdoms, Lord, without you. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would forgive us as a people, as a church, as a nation. And God, that you would open the floodgates of heaven. You've done that in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would be your floodgates. Everything you died to give us, forgiveness, healing, deliverance, and your kingdom to come through us. I thank you for all the gifts that are represented here in this house. And Lord, I pray we would begin to move and operate, and you would be the center. You would be the center. It wouldn't be about us, but it would be about us filled with your Holy Spirit. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. Thank you, God, that the kingdom of God is within us. Teach us, lead us, guide us. Holy Spirit, come. And I pray we would encounter Pentecost in a fresh and a new way. King of glory, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. We're going to sing the Spirit song. All it takes, you all, is an invitation. Inviting him in, and he will completely change us, and then change, use us to be agents of change around us. The Spirit song. Thank you. that you would just feed a hunger into everyone that's here, everyone that's listening, that we would want more of you. And as the floodgates of heaven are open, God, I pray we would be agents of change, agents of transformation. And Lord, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. And may it come through us as we yield to you. We thank you, God, that there is more. There's dunamis power. And Lord, I pray we would be hungry for you. We would seek you and we would want you with everything that is within us. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth.